Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Thanks a lot for tuning in to Locker Talk. I am your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of Locker-Report.com, and you're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you will hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. Today, I'm doing something for the first time in history, although this show has been around just for a couple of months. I'm finally going on live on Instagram. So I have a couple of people that's checking me out right now. So thanks a lot for tuning in. You can always reach me directly on Twitter at @Locker_Report. On Instagram, which is my handle, you can check me out to see that I do have a face for television, not necessarily for radio. Don't be surprised to see with my glasses on because I got some really small print. But you can follow me on Instagram at @Locker_Report100, all small caps. On Facebook, LockReport.com, or you can always shoot me a message directly by email at LockReport@BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. All right. Now, thanks a lot for tuning in. Yes, you can see one of my favorite shows on television right behind me. Just want to give you a quick note that this week we're going to talk about what happened in week 6 of the NFL, and we're going to preview what happened in week 7. Of the NFL. And for those of the first time tuning in, you know, I always repeat every week that what I talk about in regards to the NFL is something that no one talks about with the NFL regarding in the entire world, where I just pretty much just only talk about players that went through the regional combine process, went through the platform where there was unknown guys from small schools, and also you have guys that went to Division I's or whatever level of football that wanted to get into the NFL and did not have the opportunity of having scouts to come to them. So the league developed this platform for these small school players to go to get noticed, to get into the NFL. So that is primary my coverage in regards to the NFL. So if you want to learn something, hear something different, this is the show. If you want to check out other stuff that's going on in the NFL, the other big networks do a masterful job in covering that. But I will give you something different here and touch on some of the stuff that's going on in the NFL. Like, for instance, what I'm going to jump into today to start off, just to give a little bit of context going into week 7 of the NFL, which is really good, which is really good. I would start with this point. Entering into week 6 of the NFL, there were nine out of the 15 games that was played was decided by one score, totaling 8 points or fewer. That include that Miami thriller, that overtime game with the Bears, the Patriots game with the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a great game, and also include the Green Bay game when Aaron Rodgers just zipping that ball down the field against the San Francisco 49ers with no timeouts left. Those games included. Now, when you look at the whole entire season so far, 12 of the contests this year has been won on the final play of the game, which tied third most through the first 6 weeks in the NFL since 2003. So since 2003 and this year, the third most highest games that had 12 games that were decided on the final play, which shows a lot of good, I would say, two-minute drives that the NFL is starting to put together, whether if it's good on the offense side or if it's a little shaky on the defense side of the ball. So that's what you have there. Now, through the first 6 weeks of this season, 54 games have been decided by one score. That ties in 1999 season for the most in NFL history through the first 6 games. 28 of those games have been decided by 3 points or fewer. The second most in NFL history through week 6, which means in 1999 there were 35 games. Here it was just 28. So that's saying a lot how the parity is in this league as far as with giving the history of the first 6 weeks of this season. So it definitely showed that the NFL is still on par for putting out a good, solid product despite of the all the changes they've been made for player safety, which is something that, you know, I can honestly say that I'm proud to be a part of, working with NFL football operations on talking about things like that, especially when it comes down to officiating, which is something I will get to probably in a couple of weeks when I start talking about the officials again. Now, when you look at scoring, when you look at touchdowns, this is another cool thing here, that for the most touchdowns in the first 6 weeks in the NFL, this season had the most touchdowns scored in the NFL. This year, there have been 504 touchdowns that were scored through the first 6 weeks. That's the most in NFL history. What was number one was in 2015, that you had 481 touchdowns scored. Now, when you look at the history itself in total points, this year is still number one. This year, there have been a total of 4,489 points scored. The second highest was in 2014, where there were 4,250 points scored through the first 6 weeks of the NFL. So scoring is up. Everyone is pretty much really happy about what's going on in the NFL. Certainly, I'm definitely am, you know, about just seeing how much action is inside going on in the NFL. And a lot have to do with the way how the rules are changing, but at the same time, it really speaks about how professional and how solid these players are. It really goes a lot with that because there's so much they go into preparing for a season. Now, it's more than just – everything just does not just start happening on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon when you see the guys take the field. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes on during the course of an off season with players and for players of how they have to eat right, sacrifice a lot of family time. You know, still had to find out a balance between that because family is super important and super important. So that's something that these guys also have to monitor, you know, also watch out for peer pressure. You know, that's real in the NFL, trust me. Peer pressure is something else. You know, so you have to monitor, you know, situations like that, staying on top of what the rules are, staying on top of what changes the league make each year, staying on top of that, still preparing themselves mentally for the upcoming season with, you know, the constant study, you know, how they have to review, meeting new teammates, trying to get on the same page. A lot is on the table, especially if you're a quarterback in the league. There's so much that goes into a football season before the playing season actually starts. And to see that these guys still have a consistent level of talent, of preparation, of sacrifice, to be able to still deliver a solid product in this great game that we have at week in and week out says a lot about the professionalism that the players have, how solid and how dedicated the coaching staff are, and for the powers that be for us with your player personnel for each organization, seeing how they're really focused and making sure that at least every team, making sure that the team that they're in control of is ready to at least have that opportunity to hoist that Vince Lombardi trophy up, because at the end of the day, for all these players, that's what it's all about. No matter how good you are in the NFL or how bad you are in the NFL, how many changes, injuries may happen, that's what it's all about, is trying to win that trophy. So that's what so much go into. It shows in the stats. It shows in the numbers that the players are keeping a level of professionalism and also keeping a level of great concentration to deliver a solid product. You guys are listening to the Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to take a little short, quick pause, I would say, so to speak. We're going to talk about what happened last week in regards to what the players from the regional combine did. I would say that it was all about defense for these players last week, you know, especially on the defense side of the ball. And this week, we're going to talk about going into week 7, you know, there's some great matchups out there. Some more players that you guys never heard of. But if you're into fantasy football, if you haven't addressed your lineup, there's certain players that you probably want to move around and shift that came through the process that may help you win this weekend with your fantasy football. Now, you're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
For a window into today's current events, from a spiritual perspective, tune into From a Christian Perspective with Prophetess Joyce Payne every Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 10 a.m. on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, every Friday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time at blogtalkradio.com and the podcast at thebachelorpadnetwork.com. Listen to 30 minutes of insight on issues concerning religion, race, women's rights, authority abuse, political dysfunction, economic disparity, and more on From a Christian Perspective. Listen every Friday beginning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time only at blogtalkradio.com and the podcast at thebachelorpadnetwork.com.
All right. Here we go. Let's get ready. All right. Thanks to God. Thanks a lot again, guys, for tuning in to listen to the Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. And we're going to jump right into it. And for those who are just listening, just tuning in, hey, you can see that I have a face for television. Just check me out. I'm live on Instagram at Locker Report 100, where you can check me out, seeing what I'm doing live for the first time today. Just giving it a little shot to see how it is, you know, out there as far as doing video. But you can always shoot me a message directly through Instagram at Locker Report 100 or on Twitter at Locker_Report. Facebook, LockReport.com, or by my email, BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Okay, as you see that I'm on Instagram, I'm rocking my breast cancer sweater from the NFL, representing what this month is, how you see all the players wearing that pink, representing trying to show their allegiance to the cancer research to combat all forms of cancer out there. And I'm quite sure that everyone had at least had someone. And I believe that everyone has been touched by this deadly disease. I know that my cousin and my aunt passed away through cancer, so this is definitely something personal here. Dealing with cancer in my family, fortunately, it's not, I would say, something that's consistent with my family. But for those who are out there, then I'm definitely praying for you guys and those who are fighting this great fight. My prayers is out to you guys, and just let you know that here at Locker Talk, we definitely support you in our household. Okay, here we go. Now, let's jump right into what happened last week in the NFL regarding my guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine, which is I'm really excited about. And we'll start with pretty much last week's Thursday night game when the Eagles went to New York to take on the Giants. And what was so cool about this game was that the moment the ball was kicked and there was interaction with the players from the regional combine, which is fantastic. Now, Joel Davis, who is the only player right now from an HBCU program of Bethune Cookman that's in the NFL that's active right now, he received the kickoff in the opening game, and he fumbled the ball. Unfortunately, he fumbled the ball, but thank God his teammate actually recovered. That would not have been a good look. But two plays later, with 14 minutes, 24 seconds left on the clock, Scott Simpson, who came through the process of the NFL Regional Combine in 2014, Eli Manning threw the ball to the tight end, and as the ball was coming, the ball was batted by Eagles linebacker Jordan Hicks. The ball traveled in the air, and that's when another NFL Regional Combine legend, Kamar Crochet Hill, caught the ball in the air, took the ball up the field for 24 yards, got to the Giants' 16-yard line. Now, that was Crochet Hill's first NFL interception of his career, and we expect more from him. He actually now this year is a captain on his defense. Now, when Crochet Hill came through the process, he came through the workouts in 2016 in the Minnesota Hell process of the NFL Regional Combine. I remember talking to him while he was there, put on a great show. I promoted him the best way I could, talked about his good landing spots. The England Patriots actually drafted him, so that was cool. The Patriots drafted him in the fifth round, but he did not stay with the Patriots. As soon as, right before the 50-man roster was set, he had got released, but the Eagles picked him up. He became a special teams, you know, standout, became a stud there, actually made it on the active roster in the middle part of the season. Now, special teams, solid through and through, and he's more like, I would say he's a hybrid, so to speak. If he needed to play defensive end, he could, but he don't necessarily have to do that with the Eagles. But he's a pure linebacker. But one of the things that he's really good at, he's actually a good kicker. He's the emergency kicker, believe it or not. That's the funny part about him. He's an emergency kicker. He had kicked 5 times last year against the Dallas Cowboys in Week 7. But this year, he really made himself more acclimated to the defense. After winning the Super Bowl, helping these guys win the Super Bowl, and he was a legit part of it. This year, he's in the starting lineup, doing very well for the Eagles. Philadelphia definitely have a stud out there. Number 54, watch out for Crechet Hill. He's going to really make some things happen for the Eagles. I think he's going to have a long career there, and he had, you know, and he's showing it game by game. Now, he finished that game with just 1 tackle, but he did have that interception that helped start the momentum for the Eagles in that game, which was crucial and was really big. Now, also in that game, now I know that Davis had that first fumble in that kickoff, but he did redeem himself late in that game, trying to make something happen with the Giants when he had a punt that he received to open up the fourth quarter, which he took it up the field for 32 yards, which set up a decent drive. Although he didn't help this team to win, but he did put them in a situation where they could have opportunity to get back in this game. So he did an outstanding job. And then Scott, he did finish the game with one pass he caught for 24 yards that came in midway late in the game. So you see the regional guys being effective with the New York Giants. And I'm gonna talk about these guys again before the show is over. So stay tuned for that. Now, in Washington, okay, Cam Newton again came to FedEx Field. Now, normally when Cam Newton and these guys come to FedEx Field, they're normally successful, especially last time they played. So Cam Newton, those guys came to take on the Washington Redskins. Only thing that was different this time, other than dealing with their old compadre Josh Norman on the opposite side of the ball, they had a guy that came through the regional combine platform named Quentin Dunbar. Now, Quentin Dunbar, he was a wide receiver at the University of Florida. But when he came to the Washington Redskins, Jay Gruden recognized that he could probably be a solid defensive player. So he moved him over to a cornerback position. Now, he's 6'2", 210 pounds, very athletic, talked a lot of trash. I talked to him last year about it, but that's a part of the game. So what he's doing this year, he actually, according to Pro Football Focus, he's actually the 7th best cornerback in the NFL right now. Also, he's the number, and if you know that he's number 7 on Pro Football Focus, they show for his stats, he's actually better than Josh Newman right now for stats-wise. Now, Josh Newman had a good game. In that particular game, he had an interception. But Quentin Dunbar is starting to command the opposing team's number 1 wide receiver. Now, in this game, he had to match up a lot with Devin Funchess. Now, Funchess did moss my guy, I tell you. I mean, it was filthy what he did right to close out the first half, how he snatched the ball away from it in the end zone. Dunbar had a struggle in that game, and we saw that, but he adjusted his game in the second half, came out balling. That's when you didn't see Funchess really catch the ball as much, and then it really showed down the wire in the fourth quarter when Cam Newton and these guys could have pulled off a win with a last minute touchdown pass. They were in the Redskins' red zone, and here goes Dunbar matching up with Funchess again. 2 times the ball was going to Funchess, and that's when you saw Dunbar shut him out. He did not catch the ball and come near. He showed that he started to become a lockdown defensive back in this league, so he's starting to show that. And what he did for shutting him out at that time, I know he gave him a touchdown and got on everyone's highlight reel of how he got scored on, but let this be a lesson to you, all you young players that's out there. You may start out struggling in the beginning part of the game, but it's 4 quarters. You have 60 minutes left or 30 minutes left in this game, in this situation. Keep on playing. Don't stop. Just because you may have got embarrassed or you had a play that was, you know, that would win against you and the other team scored, keep your head up. Quentin Dunbar kept his head up, went out there, and when the Redskins needed him the most to make a big stop, he delivered it. So let that be a lesson to you guys. I definitely want to mention that because he definitely stepped up to the challenge, and he played ball in that game. Now, for the rundown for the rest of the league, just for the Indianapolis Colts, they have a guy named Kenny Moore who came through the process, the regional combine last year. He's a starter now, undrafted guy. He didn't lead the Colts in tackling like how Quentin Dunbar did for the Redskins. Dunbar led the Redskins in tackling with 7. Moore finished that game with 5 tackles. He was 2nd on the team for the Indianapolis Colts last week. Los Angeles Rams rookie defensive end Justin Lawler, who was drafted coming out through the regional combine process this year, he had his 2nd tackle of the season. And Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Keenan Cole is still putting work in for this club, coming through a Division II school, making on the Jacksonville Jaguars roster last year, led the team in receiving yards, and this year he's not only leading Jacksonville in receiving yards, he's leading them in receptions as well. In that game, although they got destroyed by the Cowboys, he still led the team with 4 receptions and 41 yards receiving. Not out the box type of numbers that you have from your great wide receivers in the league, but hey, he came through the regional combine. That's all I needed for me. He's leading his team. That's the only thing I need. Give encouragement for those who's coming through the platform next year. So that pretty much was a solid wrap-up of what happened last year in week 6. But I got to remember this. This is what I'm going to actually tie into what happened last week in week 6 going to week 7 of the NFL this week. Minnesota wide receiver Adam Dillon, Pro Bowl player from last year, was voted amongst his peers on the top 100, finishing at 36 on the NFL top 100 players list. Adam Dillon is leading the league in receptions and yards. This guy came through the regional combine platform 2014. He was in Chicago, watched his workout. He's one of those guys that really showed what he can do, where he actually really proved what hard work can do, how he can actually get to the next level if you just stick to the process. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder of Locker-Report.com. And everything that I'm talking about on this show, you can go right to my publication and check it out. All the content that's there that you want to know about players in the league that no one ever heard of, but eventually we'll find out when they become stars. That's why I'm doing this show, folks. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope everybody in California and Texas who's listening to the show right now, hope y'all guys continue to listen and continue to spread the word that there is some substance in NFL news reporting today. Now, Adam Thielen last week against the Arizona Cardinals, he had 11 catches for 123 yards, and he still scored a touchdown. Now, last week, Thielen had recorded during the Super Bowl era, the first player in NFL history during the Super Bowl modern era. I had to specify that because I had to be clear that he's the first player to open the season, the first 6 games, with over 100 yards. So he's the first one to do it. Now, as far as history-wise, he's the 2nd guy to actually start the season, first 6 games, with over 100 yards receiving. The first person was a guy named Charlie Heinicke, who played for the Houston Oilers, now called the Tennessee Titans. He did it in 1961 with 7 consecutive games, first 7 games to start the season with over 100 yards. Now, when you look at what's going on now, going into week 7, this could be that weekend where Adam Thielen actually can tie the overall record for starting the season with the first 7 games with over 100 yards receiving. Now, if he do this weekend and he's going up against a good, Jets team, which I'm confident that he'll be able to do in that game because Kirk Cousins, definitely targeting him a lot, and which is a good thing. You have Adam Dillon on the other, Stephon Diggs on the other side as well. So if he go into this game, clearly he will tie Mr. Heinicke for 7 straight games with over 100 yards receiving. Now, against the Jets this week, there's another thing that he can actually accomplish. He'll be the 5th player in NFL history to actually record 7 consecutive games with over 100 yards at any point of the season. So he'll be the 5th player in that category, but he will be the first to actually do it during the Super Bowl era to open up the first 7 games with 100 yards. He's going to get it. There's no question about that. Adam Thielen is a legit star in this league. Now, Also, in week 7, now, this is going to be kind of crazy. You know, for those who know me, they know that I'm a Tom Brady fan. You know, I got, you know, my man, L.A. Bassett, listening to me, looking at me right now, and he probably laughed at me right now. But as my job as a reporter, I always make sure that I'm always objective. Now, Tom Brady, we all know, well, let's put this out there. No quarterback likes to get hit, especially covering the middle. Trust me. The speed on that field, guys, I tell you, it is so fast. And being on the sidelines that I had the honor and privilege to do, you know, during my career, to be on that football field to see how fast it really is, I wouldn't want to get hit by those 300-pound guys coming at me. But there's some quarterbacks that really detest it. Now, Tom Brady is about to go against a monster defense for the Chicago Bears. When I was in Canton this year, when the Bears took on the Ravens, for the Hall of Fame game, I did talk to one of the administrators there about the squad, and he said that this team is going to be led by their defense. Now, this is before Khalil Mack joined the Bears. So they said they're going to be led by their defense, and I've been on them ever since. And the best part about this defense, that right up the middle, is one of the guys that came through the NFL Regional Combine in 2016. His name is Roy Robinson Harris. He's number 50. Number 95. Roy Robinson Harris, number 95 for the Chicago Bears. He is actually making this thing work for Khalil Mack, for these guys to actually be so deadly around the edges. So when you have that pressure coming in the middle, another guy coming through the process, Harris has been the guy that's been applying all that pressure up the middle, making quarterbacks uncomfortable, and allowing Khalil Mack to actually be more, I would say, freelance around the edges. That's what he's able to do this year, and a lot has to do with what Harris is doing. Now, Harris is the reason why Aaron Rodgers is hurt right now, because when Aaron Rodgers saw him come in the pocket in week 1, that Sunday night game, Aaron Rodgers tried to duck him out. But when he went to the ground, here come Harris, right on top of him, smashed him, hurt his knee. So he's injured right now. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to do the same thing to Tom Brady, but fortunately Aaron Rodgers was not lost for the season. That's not good for the NFL, and it also won't be a good look if something was to happen with Tom Brady. But Tom Brady will have to face Harris coming across the middle. I don't doubt that the Patriots will lose. I believe they will still want to win, but he will have his hands full with Harris coming in, applying that pressure up the middle, knowing that we have someone else coming through the process from the regional combine that's making an impact in the NFL, just making a team. That's what it all matters about. We have several players, many guys that came through the process. You know, Matt Lingle, who's one of my favorite guys, he's back with the Cincinnati Bengals. I hope that he get a target in this game. With Jatavius Brown with the Los Angeles Chargers, middle linebacker. I hope that he get well soon, because he plays a major role for that team on the defense side of the ball with the Chargers. So we're looking forward to those guys to really show up or get that opportunity to be on the field this week. So watch out for number 95 for Chicago Bears. He really makes this thing work for the Chicago Bears and allowing Khalil Mack to do what he does best, and that's get at the quarterback and make plays. So watch out for that matchup. Now, the big three that I had talked about with the New York Giants, they will get that opportunity this Monday night to be in front of the entire nation to show what they can do in the NFL. So that's going to be one game that I'm definitely going to monitor really close, because anytime you have guys from the regional combine that actually have an opportunity to make things happen and they in that prime time spotlight, I'm definitely going to highlight it. They go up against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, a beautiful stadium. Can't wait to check that stadium out on the Super Bowl this year. But watch out for these guys. Watch out for Jarrell Davis, rookie from Bethlehem Cookman. He's going to be their main return guy. They're going to have, you know, Scott Sampson. Sampson, he's going to be out there, their tight end. Expect him to get more targets. And then you got my guy, Elijah Penny. Elijah Penny was with the Arizona Cardinals ever since he came into the NFL. This year, he actually just got signed off the Cardinals practice squad, and he signed with the New York Giants. The New York Giants do need to probably find some way to help protect Eli Manning. And he is a fullback, a real good blocking fullback. So I'm expecting to see Elijah Penny on that field this Monday night. Well, folks, that's about near the top of my show for today. Thanks a lot for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you'll find out about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder of LockerDashPort.com. Please go check out their content. You'll find out so much information about the NFL that no one talks about. Even these guys that's on TV right now, they don't even know about this stuff, and they actually cover the NFL. That's the best part about it. So please tune in the next week when I'll preview what happened this week in week 7 and also get ready for week 8. And if there's any cool news to break about what's going on in the NFL Regional Combine players, I'll definitely let you guys know what's going on. Everyone stay blessed. Check y'all guys out next week. Peace.